Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijay Duisburg. And you know I got my squad with me, host of Sports Illustrated, Ashley Nicole Moss.
What's up?
And my guy, B-Flow, 10 years in the NFL, was a Pro Bowl corner with the Kansas City Chiefs. B-Flow, Ashley, how y'all doing tonight?
We good, man. We good. We got a show lined up that we ready to get into, you know.
Oh, man, there's a lot to discuss in this show. Kevin Durant, you know, fired at the Brooklyn Nets. You know, the owner came back. But let's go ahead and jump into the show. Like you said, B-Flow, we got a lot to discuss. Baker Mayfield has impressed Panthers offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo, which is interesting because McAdoo once was Mayfield's biggest critic. We'll discuss that. Kevin Durant gave the Brooklyn Nets an ultimatum, and Nets owner Joe Tsai responded to that ultimatum, and it wasn't the answer KD was looking for. We'll discuss that as well. And will Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens work out an extension before the season starts? But first, Serena Williams plans to evolve away from tennis. Now, Serena Williams recently just announced that she plans to retire after the U.S. Open. Now, in Vogue September issue, Serena Williams prepares to say farewell to tennis on her own terms, in her own words. She says, "It's the hardest thing that I could ever imagine. I don't want it to be over, but at the same time, I'm ready for what's next." Now, Williams shared her thoughts about her future in this first-person essay on Vogue.com, suggesting that the U.S. Open could be her final tournament. She admitted she had mixed feelings about her next chapter and didn't even like using the word retirement, instead opting for evolution. Now, Serena is second to none when it comes to the tennis court. Let's just list off some of her accomplishments. 73 single titles, 23 Grand Slam single titles, which is most in tennis history, 14 Grand Slam double titles, 4 Olympic gold medals, and $94 million in prize money. Now, she was a true legend, the GOAT, and will go down as possibly the greatest athlete to ever walk the face of the earth. And, it, you know, her reach doesn't just end on the tennis court, right? She did a lot off the court as well. She spent time, much of her time, dedicated to philanthropy. Williams currently serves as the Goodwill Ambassador for the UNICEF, which is the United Nations Children's Fund, which is an agency of the United Nations that administers programs to aid education in child and maternal health in developing countries. Ashley, what has Serena meant to not only the tennis world, but all the sports?
I mean, she's the GOAT. I say this all the time. She's the greatest athlete to ever do it. And that's period, point blank. But I think that she also changed the way I feel like female athletes can exist, right? Because Serena has never shied away from being assertive. She's never shied away from being outspoken. She's never shied away from being a little hood. She's never shied away from, you know, living in her truth in the way that she dresses and the things that she says. And I think that it's opened up this avenue for female athletes to not have to exist in a space of being submissive all the time and quiet and timid. You know, we celebrate men, you know, you see LeBron and you see you know, the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game or baseball players. And they're, you know, they're slamming their chests and they're doing their dances and, you know, they're breaking their bats. And you love that, right? Because it showcases this, you know, this passion and this drive and this athleticism. And, you know, you celebrate that. But when a woman does it, you kind of look at her like, that's not cute. And I think Serena's pushed those boundaries and said, look, I am an athlete, like, period. Like, what's good for the men is good for me. And if you have a problem with it, oh, well, this is what it is. And I love that. And I think that it's just given women, not only in sports, but just across the board, whether you report in sports, just the confidence and the space to feel like they can exist in so many different facets. And that's all Serena, and I'm forever grateful. And listen, her husband actually is a friend of mine, and I know that the things that she works, you know, with her venture capitalism is just going to blow up. Like, I'm so excited for this next chapter from her. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Before I ask you the same question, what do you think Serena has meant to the world of tennis and just the world of sports, period?
I mean, Ash hit on so much, you know, like, what Serena even did for the sport. She brought over a whole different demographic to even watch the sport. I mean, I'll kind of slide by and glance through tennis for a little bit, but when Serena came on the scene, her and Venus, like, you were glued in and you almost expected her to win every match. I don't care what athlete you watch in any sport, maybe Tiger, right? You don't expect them to win every time they're on the court. And I think it's just so beautiful, you know, to watch her grow from a girl to a woman in a sport, and the way she carried herself and the way, you know, she just respected the game. I mean, she did it flawlessly. And we don't necessarily give her as much credit as we should have throughout her run, because what she did, and we don't rank her as one of the best athletes ever. Like, now we're doing it because we're looking at her stats, and that's another athlete like LeBron. We don't realize what she did in that sport until you sit back when she retired and say, damn, she did this, she did that. Yeah. Like, we didn't, like, really appreciate that when she was doing it. So I hope she get the flowers she deserved now. Like, we appreciate what she did for the sport, what she meant for the community. You know, when she moved from Cali down to West Palm Beach, I actually met her when she was young and was a teenager. So to even, like, see her from where she was at that time with the bees in her head, her and Venus, you know, and they was playing tennis at the park in the hood. So for us to see that as kids, like, I feel like that's a reason why I was able to play in the NFL. Like, seeing somebody do it, her dad brought her to the hood to, like, let us see her play tennis. And when she got on the big stage, man, it was just like, that's the same woman that was just right here. So she inspired so many that she don't even know. She definitely, she gave the game a different type of feel, even her swag on the field, like, right, on the court, like, what she did for the game is monumental, man. So salute to Serena.
And without her, I mean, there's no Coco Gauff. There's Naomi Osaka. There's, you know, there's not this next generation of tennis players who are going to change what the sport of tennis looks like. This was a predominantly or all white sport because it was so expensive. You know, you look at the sports that are predominantly black and the ones that are predominantly white, the fundamental, you know, thing in that is that one's more expensive than the other. That's why you don't see a lot of black people playing baseball, right? Mm. You don't see a lot of black people playing hockey. You don't see a lot of black people playing tennis. And I think now, yeah, that may take a while to completely change. And also, tennis is an international sport. So you have so many different countries that have their hand in it. But now you have a idol to look up to for the next, you know, sister pair coming out of Compton or any inner city in America. And it's now a reality. It's a possibility because the Williams sisters did it. And Serena just ran with it when she did it. So it's dope.
Yeah, Ashley, you kind of hit on it. And I think B-Flow, you made a great pivotal point about diversity in tennis, right? So B-Flow, like, how did she specifically, Serena, push the culture and diversity forward when it came to tennis?
It's just because every little girl, right, of color, they just felt like, I didn't even know, like, not saying that they didn't feel accepted in that sport. They didn't think to go the tennis route because they haven't seen it before. And that's actually a sport where they could dominate because they're agile. Like, it fits what they're just about. You know, a lot of women play basketball, softball, whatever. So they'd be so athletic coming out. And when you translate that to the tennis court, I mean, it's so much more dominant. Like Ashley said, like a Coco Gauff, right? Coco is from Delray Beach, where I'm from. So I seen her as a little girl. She played basketball coming up. And when she transferred those skills to the tennis court from just watching inspiration, like Serena saying, like, that maybe can be me one day, like, she crushing it at an early age. And just what she did, man, for the culture, that's big.
Yeah, Ashley, we talked about all the accolades Serena has. Do you believe she goes down as the greatest athlete ever?
Absolutely. I started this segment off saying that she's the GOAT. And I think that she's not only the GOAT because, and this is no knock to men because it's not their fault that, you know, nature is nature. But I think she's also the GOAT because a lot of her accomplishments towards the later part of her career, she did pregnant. She did as a new mother. She did dealing with postpartum. She dealt with, you know, rehabbing not only as an athlete, but also as a new mother, C-sections and those, how your body changes through that. I mean, it's just a different level of obstacle that a man could never deal with. And that's not because, like, he's weaker or whatever. It's just because that's the way nature is. So I think you have to look at her in just so many different lights and realize, like, not only did she overcome so much as an athlete, but she overcame so much as a woman and an athlete. And that just adds a different type of layer. And whether you're a tennis fan or not, you have to respect. I mean, I read the Vogue issue that she was in. And I also remember the story because I watched her documentary. I mean, she almost died giving birth to her child and then dealt with the postpartum for months and still went out and competed as the greatest athlete, the greatest tennis player we've ever seen. I mean, you just have to respect that and just know that it's rare to see that happen.
And one thing we don't think about, she had an 85% win percentage, right? And this is a single solo sport. Dude, you know, like, we play, like, if we tripping on defense, hey, oh, y'all got to get us, bro. Like, y'all got to carry us. It's like, nah, she had to be on point so many different times.
Every time,
when she get in a slump, she got to get herself out of it. So to be that dominant, and how many titles she won, you said, Deuce?
Like, oh, God.
23 Grand Slams.
23 Grand Slams, which is the record in tennis.
Like, we don't put
one. Let's put that in. And one of those she won pregnant.
I believe she was, what, like 2 months pregnant, Ashley? I think she
was about 2 or 3 months pregnant. Yeah. Exhausted, you know, physically exhausted. Her, you know, did not have the easiest pregnancy, even very early on, and won a grand slam. Like, just put that into perspective.
To me, she goes down as the greatest athlete ever. And Brandon, we talk about this when it comes to male sports, and I don't know why it doesn't translate over to female sports. Longevity, right? You talked about it. You met her as a teenager.
Yeah.
She's still playing at the age of 40. So people talk about Tom Brady and playing for 20 plus years in the NFL. Like, again, this is a sport where it's all on you. You one-on-one. Now, of course, they do the doubles with her sister, Serena. But a lot of times, like you said, nobody has your back. You have a bad set, you got to come back on your own. Nobody's coming to save you. And for her to be that dominant for that many years, I mean, you have to put her as the GOAT, man.
And not only that, but I mean, if you watch Serena's matches, and I'm a tennis fan, so I've watched a lot of Serena's matches. I mean, the velocity of which she serves.
Oh, God, it's crazy.
The toll it takes on your back and just your whole oblique system. I mean, it's insane. And she's done that and done it at a high level for years. It's not like she had a couple good years and then she fell off and it's like, oh, once upon a time. She served like that for the majority of her career. That's insane.
Yeah. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Dules, but with my squad, Ashley Nicole Moss and Brandon Flowers. And we were talking about Serena Williams evolving away from the game of tennis. And we go from one player walking away from the game she loves to another player asking to be traded, and that's all-pro linebacker Roquan Smith, who has requested a trade out of Chicago. Now, the linebacker issued a statement via Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, noting that writing the words, "he's requested a trade," was deeply painful. Smith goes on to say this: "Unfortunately, the new front office regime doesn't value me here. They've refused to negotiate in good faith. Every step of this journey has been take it or leave it. The deal sent to me is one that would be bad for myself and for the entire linebacker market if I signed it. I've been trying to get something done that's fair since April, but their focus has been on trying to take advantage of me. I wanted to be a Bear for my entire career, help this team bring a Super Bowl back to our city. However, they have left me no choice than to request a trade that allows me to play for an organization that truly values what I bring to the table. Now, since Roquan Smith rookie season, which was in 2018, only Bobby Wagner and Shaquille Leonard, who was Darius Leonard, he changed his name, are the only NFL players with more tackles. And Smith has been named a second team all-pro linebacker in each of the last two seasons. B-Flo, what in the world are the Chicago Bears doing by not locking up Roquan Smith as a foundational piece?
Look, first off, Roquan a dog, right?
Yeah.
And he a linebacker in Chicago. You feel like, hey, that's our pedigree. Like, that's what we know.
You got to be special like, when you go there as a linebacker. Or
like linebackers. Yeah. And he's a three down linebacker, right?
Yeah.
I just hope this is the situation. They're doing the Tyreek Hill situation where it's like, bro, we love you, but you asking for everything and we can't give it to you. So we're going to make sure you go somewhere you want to go. And they're respecting him as that player that he is, because I can't see no other reason why Chicago ain't making this happen. He's a cornerstone. He's a core player for the defense. Like,
yeah,
he go made it. He gives that defense an identity. You don't get players like that too often, right? So,
now this ahead, is my dude. Question, B-Flo. Like, if they're not gonna throw him the bag, like, who else are you throwing the bag to on that defense? Like, he is the foundational piece on that defense. Like, Robert right. Quinn had over 18 sacks last year, but you know, he came out like not too far after us, so he's been in the league for a long time. You're not gonna really build your defense around Robert Quinn. Like, I honestly don't understand what new GM Ryan Poles is doing there.
But dudes, you know how these guys is up top, man. They feel like, listen, it's me, you know, bringing these athletes in now. I'll draft, you know, I'll build in the draft. And
yeah, see, that pisses me off. Guy.
You know, like, ego take part in negotiations. And these guys that's in them front offices feel like I'm here for a reason too, right?
Yeah.
They always want to prove a point that, hey, if we let this guy go, I can bring somebody in, save my, like, that's their whole egotistical thing, right? Like, we played for so many teams that when you go to the front office, they always feel like they can replace anybody.
Everybody.
And be okay, right? So yeah. I think that's just what's going on here. This is a new regime. You know, they didn't draft him. So yeah. I just felt, you know how it is. They don't draft you. They don't have any ties to you, right?
That's a good point, B-Flo, because I think a lot of listeners or fans might not know this. Like, when a new GM comes in, right, the players that are there, a lot of times they have this one-track mind of thinking, right? I didn't bring these players in. They're not going to fit the system, the mold that I want in. But to me, that's nonsense. If you got a guy like Roquan Smith, who is a perennial Pro Bowler, he fits every damn system. I don't give a damn what you're talking about, GM. And I honestly, this was my next question to you, B-Flo. Like, I have questions of what, you know, the new GM Ryan Poles' direction is. Like, what is his vision? Because, again, you know, Justin Fields was drafted there last year. He didn't draft him, right? But it also seems like he's almost setting him up to fail this year, because he didn't bring in an offensive tackle until right before camp and Riley Reiff. They're going to be starting a rookie left tackle in Braxton Jones, who I really liked at the Senior Bowl, but he was a fifth round pick. Justin Fields got killed last year. Hmm. And then on the outside, you let Allen Robinson walk out the door, right? You know, Mooney's a good young player. He could be a foundational piece, but you don't really have any viable pass catchers out there. You drafted Velsius Jones, I believe, in the third round, and he's an older rookie. He's like 25 years old. But, like, you haven't really helped Justin Fields at all. Like, how can you truly evaluate somebody if you don't put pieces around them?
You can't.
And you know what?
Straight up, man.
It sucks that he plays a position that's not value as high, right? Running backs and linebackers, a lot of franchises feel like they're disposable. Now, if he was a left tackle or edge rusher or a corner, they'd have been like, all right, we ain't letting you out of the building. But you know how it is when it comes to linebackers and running backs. A lot of people really don't want to pay him that much, but I just think he's one of those guys you got to make an exception for.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, what's going on with Ryan Poles. Again, it seems like he's trying to set up a few of these players to fail. Because to your point, B-Flo, like, when a new GM comes in, they a lot of times want to tear it all down. They'll give you, like, 1 year. They're not going to really try to help you that much in that 1 year. If you're successful, then, okay, maybe we can build off of this. But if you're not, well, you know, I'm in here for a reason. I'm coming to tear everything down and build it the way I want to build it. And I really despise that about the NFL. The thing that I always liked about my head coach, Rex Ryan, right? Even when he went to a new team, like, whatever team he went to, if players could play, he would find out and put them in a position where they could be successful, right? Yeah. Even if they weren't his guys, right? If he was in, like, when I went to Buffalo, like, most of that roster wasn't guys he brought to Buffalo, but he found out a way, like, if you did this well, I'm going to put you in this position so you can make plays, right? Find a skill set that every player has and then use it to their best ability. Don't come in and say, well, they're not part of my regime. I'm just going to tear everything down. I mean, I think the NFL needs to change when it comes to that.
I'll say one thing. We love our linebacker in Dallas. Hey, Micah. You do good things, Micah. You know that linebacker narrative does not apply in Dallas, Micah. Don't get any ideas, okay? That's all I'm asking.
This is weird that this is coming out now, right? Like, if he was thinking about contract talk, like, don't you feel like this would have been earlier in the offseason, not literally 30 days before the beginning of the season?
Well, no, he says he's been trying to work out a deal since April with them. And they just haven't gotten it done. That's why, to me, B-Flo, it's not the player. This is coming from upstairs 100% because there's no way you're working on a deal since April. Now, some instances, a guy could be, you know, trying to say, like, this is what this guy got, and this is what I need to get. And honestly, in this case, he deserves to be top-paying linebacker because if you look what he's done the last few years, he's one of the top linebackers in the league. Again, only Bobby Wagner and Shaquille Leonard have more tackles than this guy in the last four seasons. So, like, he deserves to be up there and getting paid that money, and he's still young.
New regime, they want to see what he does in their new regime first before they give him that bag. That's all that is. If he go out there and play, like, the first five games, they might get some.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing beer. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete. Tonight, I am your host, Lijay Doosable, with my squad, Ashley Nicole Moss and Brandon Flowers. Shout out to the Ravens Radio on Sirius XM for giving us that clip of Lamar Jackson's touchdown pass, and also the Ravens NFL Radio Training Camp Tour, which actually happened today. Lamar Jackson talking about how he's working to be at the top of his game, and John Harbaugh just talking about how Lamar Jackson is having a great camp and how he loves having him as a quarterback. And it's time for our countdown to kickoff segment. Now, our countdown to kickoff segment, we really hone in on one team, focus in on them as we lead up to the opening kickoff in the NFL season between the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. And today's team, you could have guessed it, the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson returns after missing 5 games last year. To me, he was the MVP front runner the first 8 weeks of the season, had Baltimore in first place in the AFC before his injury. He still threw for over 2,800 yards, 16 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and rushed for over 760 yards. Now, this team, was riddled with injuries. I'm talking about ridiculous injuries all up and down the roster. Starting at the running back position, they lost their top three running backs before the season even started. J.K. Dobbins is coming back from injury. He was just activated from the PUP list. Gus Edwards, there's some question marks if he'll actually be ready for week one, and Justice Hill comes back. At the receiver position, they traded away Marquise Hollywood Brown, who was their number one receiver. Rashad Bateman takes over that number one receiving spot. He missed the first five games of the season with an injury and ended the year last year with 46 receptions for over 515 yards. Their tight end, Mark Andrews, to me, was the best tight end in football last year. Over 100 receptions with over 1,300 receiving yards. Nick Boyle is their blocking tight end. He returns from injury. Plus, they drafted Isaiah Likely, who's more of a, you know, receiving threat at the tight end position. O-line, their Pro Bowl offensive tackle, Ronnie Stanley, still has not returned from injury, but they're hoping they get him back soon. They drafted the number one center in the draft and Tyler Lindenbaum, and also drafted Daniel Fa'alele, the big offensive tackle, to really man that right tackle spot. On defense, man, the Ravens defense have been one of the best defenses in NFL, but because of the injuries last year, they really struggled. They gave up the most passing yards in football and also led the league in giving up most yards per play. 6 yards per play is what they gave up last year. So they get their two cornerbacks back that were Pro Bowlers. Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey are both coming back from injury. They drafted Kyle Hamilton, who some had as the number one safety in the draft, and signed safety Marcus Williams from the New Orleans Saints. They signed back Calais Campbell, the defensive end, to really lock in that leadership group on the defensive line. Drafted D-tackle Travis Jones to hold down the middle of that defensive line. And David Ojabo, the guy they drafted out of Michigan, tore his Achilles at his pro day workout. We don't know when he'll be back. Maybe November, December, if at all this season. But they drafted him to pair him with Adafe Owe on the outside at edge. B-Flow, will the Ravens and Lamar Jackson come to a contract extension before the season kicks off? And if you're Lamar Jackson, do you even chance playing without a new deal?
Oh, this is so tough, man. Let me ask you this, dude. I know I should know this question, but is Lamar Jackson still his own agent?
Yeah. So his mom technically is his agent, and they like have a group of people that work with him.
No, I think his mom is his manager.
And I think they're handling supposedly the negotiation part.
She handles it, but she's technically not an agent. She's his manager who handles all his stuff.
So technically he's his own agent. Yeah.
So this is why I don't think it gets done before the season. Bro, you're in training camp. You can't be worrying about contract talks, right? Like that's too much. That's going to be pulling you away from the game. You should be. And I get it, bro. You should be one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid quarterback in the league, because if you look at this, what he did in the Ravens franchise, I mean, he's the first quarterback in Ravens history to make a first-team All-Pro. You know, most passing yards by a quarterback in the game. Of course, it's most rushing in the game. Most passing touchdowns in the season. Most games with a perfect passer rating. Like, you're not getting another Lamar Jackson anytime soon. So I would think you would want to lock this guy up. But the only thing that's hindering me from that is, like, if you're your own agent, bro, you don't have time to be negotiating no deal coming from practice and meetings and handling all this, you know? So I think that's the only reason that it won't. But the Ravens need to think of something quick, because I don't even think we've seen the ceiling of Lamar yet. I still don't like the offense that he's in. It's not giving him a chance to throw the ball. So he's nowhere near his ceiling. So if the Ravens are smart, they might want to pay him like before the season starts, because he's coming back this season with vengeance. Like Lamar, dog, some players have that it factor about them. Like no matter what goes on, I'm finna do me. And you don't want that number to be way higher than what it would have been at the start of the season.
Not only that, but I'll take it from the other perspective. And Lamar doesn't want to go into the season with no type of protection. Like, God forbid you get hurt, right? And what if you get hurt and it takes you a while to rehab? Or maybe when you do rehab, you're not quite the same player that you were. We've seen that. I've spoken about that with Dak Prescott, right? But, you know, the Cowboys ultimately paid Dak Prescott because they saw what life was like without him. But Dak is now a different player. He's not as fearless on the run anymore. He's much more comfortable in the pocket. And when he does run, it's not with the same vengeance, and it's not the same distance. It's not the same speed. So that's always a possibility. And you want to make sure you have some sort of monetary protection from that. You don't want to go into a new season with no contract. And it's unfortunate and it's crappy that I feel like at least the Ravens are taking advantage of the fact that this is a guy who does not have an agent. If this were a quarterback with an agent, there's no way in hell that he would even be reporting to training camp without a contract. And the fact that he is, and he's showing, look, I want to be here. I want to lead these guys. I want to win games. And you're still not taking that and doing right by him as he continues to do right by the organization. This is the same quarterback who every single time until recently that this is brought up, he changes the conversation, or he'll be like, look, when it gets done, I'm here to win games. That type of loyalty is very rare, especially in a player-led environment that we're in multiple sports. Like, stop taking advantage of that. And it says a lot about the Ravens that they continue to do so.
Yeah, and Ashley, you hit on something that I want to talk about. You said the Cowboys learned what life was like without Dak Prescott.
And it was bad.
Well, the Ravens learned last year too, right? Because like I stated, they were in first place in the AFC. Lamar Jackson gets hurt, they don't even make the damn playoffs. So if I'm Lamar Jackson, right, I wouldn't even step into camp without a deal. And honestly, the deal would have had to start at $230 million guaranteed. Ooh. I'm not taking a penny less than Deshaun Watson had. Because again, we always talk about a player or quarterback that can elevate their team when there's injuries, right? When you know, the offense isn't getting it done or the defense isn't getting it done. Can your quarterback elevate us to get us a win when we're not playing at our best? Lamar Jackson showed last year through the first 8 weeks of the season with everybody hurt, top three running backs, top quarterback, top offensive tackle, everybody hurt. He's blocking tight end. Didn't have any of those guys. And he was able to elevate that team to win after win. I remember the Detroit Lions game. They were in fear that they were going to lose to the Detroit Lions, who hadn't won in forever, right? He was able to put a couple drives together at the end of the game, even though they had played piss poor, pitiful. Hollywood Brown had dropped like three touchdowns that game. He was able to get Justin Tucker in range to kick, I believe, an NFL record winning field goal at the end of that game. I remember the Colts game, right? I believe it was Monday night. They were down by 21, B-Flow. This guy went on like four straight drives to lead his team, passing the ball, not even running the ball, to win that game in overtime versus the Colts. So you always talk about a quarterback that can elevate your team. Lamar Jackson can do that, and he showed it last year. So I don't know why the hell this deal has not got done, to your point, B-Flow. Maybe because he doesn't have an agent. But again, we would start. That would be the floor, $230 million if I'm Lamar Jackson.
I hate the fact that Lamar Jackson is just a great person, right? He don't want to be a distraction, right? Anybody else would have said, listen, like you said, Ash, Hollywood Brown ain't there no more. Like, you're taking away weapons still, and our division is getting better. Like, we just added Deshaun Watson. Like, what are we doing here? I hate that he don't want to be a distraction. And like Ashley said, also, you're not coming in this season with no security. This is one of the only offenses in the league that has designed quarterback runs, like with a guy in this stature, right? So it's not even like he can stand in a pocket and kind of play that kind of ball where it's like, I'm going to get rid of the ball quick. I'm not going to get hit. I understand I don't have any protection. Like, they call quarterback runs for him all game. And I just hope that don't mess with his psyche if a deal don't get done and he's not being as explosive or trying to take the top off every time he touched the ball like he usually do when he is comfortable.
Yeah. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doolsbo, with my squad, Ashley Nicole Moss and Brandon Flowers. And then we're in our countdown to kickoff segment, and we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens. B-Flo, with all the injuries.
I want to add something to that, too. I think that the Ravens are putting Lamar in a very just not a great spot, because what happens is if Lamar were to say, look, I know this is not as popular in the NFL as it is in the NBA. If he says, look, I'm not playing until I get a new deal.
He should.
The Ravens don't look bad. Lamar looks bad. And maybe not to a handful of people who are very pro athlete and pro, like taking care of their business and treating it like the owners have, for the entirety of its existence, like a business. You know, the hot takes are going to be Lamar selfish and he knew what it was, like this whole thing. So it's like he's in a very lose-lose situation. Like, I cannot play and now I look like the bad guy, or I can play without any type of security from you guys. And God forbid something happens, what are you going to do? And it's very rare that an organization will do it happened with Dak Prescott. I'm using that as an example because obviously I'm a Cowboys fan. Jerry dragged his feet on that Dak Prescott contract. And what happened? In the midst of still dragging his feet, he got hurt. Ultimately, he did the right thing by Dak and ended up paying him. Dak rehabbed, came back, and was ready to go, looked fantastic, and will, be the same this season. But, like, why make it harder than it has to be? Like, pay your guy. He's been patient. It's been seasons. Like, pay him.
Yeah, 100%. B-Flo, with all the injuries the Ravens endured last season, with guys coming back and they've added some key pieces in free agency, I talked about Marcus Williams at the safety position. Do you believe the Ravens have a way back to the top of the AFC North this year?
Oh, for sure. Like, the Ravens are the Ravens. Like, they just had that year where everybody just got banged up. And they started out straight.
Yeah, they were the number one seed.
Yeah, they have an identity in Baltimore that's not going anywhere anytime soon. So as long as you have Lamar in place, I always give them a chance, right? Because Pittsburgh, yeah, they starting Trubisky. Like, we don't know how that's going to go. Deshaun Watson, he's not going to be the starter for the first six games.
Maybe more. Yeah,
at least, you know. And then can Joe Burrow them just run it back? Like, we don't know. We don't know if that was fluke. So, of course, I give him a chance, especially having a unanimous MVP, NFL MVP behind center. Like, let's go.
That's my favorite part about this whole thing is, like, the Ravens are dragging their feet like they have an alternative option. Like, it'd be different if, like, your backup quarterback was, like, the second coming of Aaron Rodgers, right? Then it's like, all right, I don't got to pay Lamar. I got this guy. If he said, what is your alternative, Baltimore? Like,
Tyler Huntley. They believe in Tyler Huntley.
Like, you don't have an alternative here. You don't have a guy that is Lamar Jackson status. And it's not even like you have a guy coming in the draft that's going to be like Lamar. You really don't have any options to be playing like hardball with this guy. Like, it's really not in your favor to do this. And if you drag your feet long enough, listen, if they don't pay him and Lamar plays, I'm demanding the trade. Get me out of Baltimore.
Put this situation in perspective, you know, the Ravens had came out and said, you know, we're ready to give Lamar a deal. Like, he has to come meet us. Well, they were saying that he wasn't even taking their call, supposedly. Like, we don't know if that's facts or not. Again, it's unconventional. Yeah, it's unconventional because he doesn't have an agent. But supposedly the Ravens, like, we're trying to get a deal done with him. But, you know, Lamar has to come, you know, to the table and talk to us because, you know, he wasn't there this offseason, right? He was out in Florida working out, trying to get bigger, which he did.
He's always in Florida. That's where he's from here.
Well, no, usually in the offseason, though, he goes back with the team when they have team workouts. But this offseason, he didn't do that. He stayed down in Florida the whole time, worked on his body because, to Brandon's point, right, they actually have scripted runs for him during the game. So he felt like he needed to get a little bit bigger so he could take, you know, some of that brunt from defenders when he's running the football. And he looks good. So I'm interested to see what happens. But if I'm Lamar Jackson, there's no way in hell I'm signing anything less than $230 million guaranteed because that's what Deshaun
Lamar
Watson
needs to hire an agent to do this and then fire him.
Get a lawyer.
Yeah, just get somebody. Like, he doesn't even have to be like the guy you stick with for the rest of your career. If it's just so you can get the most you can get from the Baltimore Ravens in a contract and then you dump him, look, that's the name of the game.
Like, but this is the interesting thing about it, right? They said Lamar isn't really answering the phone. And the toughest thing, this is why we hire agents, dudes. Like, we ain't trying to hear the team tell us why we shouldn't get a deal because when you go with contract negotiations, all they want to do is tell you why you shouldn't get this. And
Max.
Bro, we human. We go feel like, oh, this how you feel about me? Then
I'm out of here.
We're not supposed to hear those conversations.
Not only that, but it's so tedious and there's so much back and forth. Like, even, you know, obviously I've never signed an NFL contract. I'm still waiting for the Cowboys to call me. But, you know, even in the media side, those contracts, they go back and forth and you try to get this clause changed. You try to get 100%. More money here. I don't want to deal with that. Like, that's why I have people to do it for me. Like, just let me know where I got to sign and, like, you know, move on. Like, I get Lamar, you know, there's a few basketball players who don't have it. Like, Jaylen Brown notoriously didn't have an agent when he came into the league and was doing all those calls and stuff himself. And I think he just signed with an agency or like not even an agency, someone to handle his marketing. I still think he's agentless. Some guys like having that control, but like sometimes it's just easier to just have someone do your work for you. Like,
yeah, 100%. It'll be interesting to see what happens, right? Because after the Deshaun Watson deal, we felt like the next quarterback after that to get paid was going to do a fully guaranteed deal. And then Kyler Murray take $160 million guaranteed. I believe his whole deal was worth $230 million, but he didn't get it fully guaranteed. So we kind of talk about this on the show all the time, like guys pushing the position forward, right? I think that's why Roquan Smith refuses to sign that deal because he even said that in his, you know, statement on Twitter, like it would have hurt me to sign the deal, but it also would have hurt the linebacking group as a whole, right? And I love when players are thinking about the future and the next guy's money. Now, obviously you care about your money. You want to get your money, but also what are you doing to push the players forward? Right. And I think Kyler Murray missed the boat by doing that. And if you're going to take $160 million, you just took 1 year off the deal and been like, well, give me a 4 year, $160 million deal guaranteed instead of a 5 year, $230 million deal where only 160 of it is guaranteed. So if I'm Lamar Jackson again, he's got to try to push it forward again for the players, like fully guaranteed deal. I don't care if it's 2-3 years. We saw DK Metcalf and Debo Samuels take smaller deals and get mostly guaranteed money out of their whole deal. I think that's what Lamar Jackson has to do. B-Flo, I talked about the defense a little bit in the intro. You know, the defense is synonymous with always bringing heat, you know, playing man on the outside. Again, they struggled last year, gave up NFL worst 6 yards per play and the most passing yards. And that's what happens when you blitz all the time and you go man coverage and you don't have your two top corners out there. So now with everybody coming back, B-Flo, they added a really ball hawking safety in Marcus Williams. They got Kyle Hamilton in the draft. Again, brought Calais Campbell back as that veteran leadership on the defensive front. Do you think they go back to being a dominant defense again?
Oh, for sure. Like, that's in their DNA. And this is the only team in the league. Well, yeah, see, they have like 13 DBs that can start anywhere in the league, right? Facts. They like just rack up in the secondary because they know they need guys who can make plays on the ball. Cause like you said, they sit in the house. Marcus Peters, though, boy, everybody's coming back and they coming back with a chip on their shoulder, right? They don't like the idea that they're not the big dogs of the division. Like, that's just the Baltimore Ravens. And that's what Ozzie Newsome, I know he's not the GM there no more, but that's what he instilled in those guys over there. So they'll be back to making plays. They got ball hawks. When you got ball hawks, that never leaves, right? And they always have a great front seven. That's just who they are. They are one of them teams that don't rebuild, they reload. So they're going to be trunk tight.
Ooh, that was a bar. They reload.
Ashley, who do you think is the most important piece? And I think I know your answer to the Ravens having success. Yeah.
Lamar Jackson. Like, it's really that simple. Like, no Lamar, no wins, no playoffs. Like, it doesn't matter how great your defense is. It doesn't matter how great your offense is if you don't have a quarterback to go ahead and put up points on the board. It's that simple. Like, I mean, especially with the caliber of quarterbacks in the league is getting better. You know, these divisions are getting better. These quarterbacks are coming into the league more prepared than ever before. And that's across the threshold with sports in general. We talk about that in the NBA all the time, how these guys are coming into the league almost NBA ready perfectly because of all the things that are accessible to them that the guys before them didn't have access to, the trainers, the nutrition, you know, all those things. So it's no different from the NFL, and you can't afford to miss the boat on Lamar Jackson. You can't afford for him to be so unhappy that he says, look, when this contract is up, make sure you move me because I'm not coming back here. Like, you don't want that to be the case. That is a situation that could send this franchise back to the dark ages. And they don't want to go back there because they're relevant again. They're winning again. And they have an opportunity, if they go ahead and do the right things and build the right team, to really make some noise for many, many years to come. But that starts and ends with Lamar Jackson. You can't fumble that bag, and you got to give Lamar his. It's that simple.
100%. B-Flo, who's the most important piece for the Ravens to have success this year?
Man, it's their offensive coordinator. Like, you got to find a way to not let Lamar or make him play, I hate the term, scramble football, but you got to get the ball out of his hands quick. You can't run that run pass option and he's doing the same thing, design runs that get kind of boring, and the defense kind of know what you're going to do when you expect him to make something out of nothing. Like, you have Rashad Bateman, who you like. You have Devin Duvernay. Like, use them as weapons. Let Lamar open this thing up and don't wait till you go down 21 or 28 points to try to air it out. And then we say, why we don't do that all game? Like, I'm tired of the same thing when it comes to this guy, Lamar Jackson. Like, open it up and let him play football.
Well, that's been the issue with Greg Roman, right? He's a genius when it comes to different run plays. He probably schemes up defenses better than anybody when it comes to the run. People have asked, like, what can he do to be creative when it comes to the passing game to really help out Lamar Jackson? So a lot of people have wondered, is he truly the guy that can take Lamar Jackson to the next level? I remember he was my offensive coordinator with the Bills. And I thought, again, he's great when it comes to run schemes and scheming defenses up. The question mark with him has always been the passing game. So I like that answer of Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator. To me, the most important piece is J.K. Dobbins, man. I thought he was in line to have a crazy season last year. And if you're able to, you know, run the ball effectively, which the Ravens are going to do, right? They're going to have big offensive line. They're going to sit on people, right? They're going to have them double teams in the power game, the counter game. And if you could, you know, uptake, you know, J.K. Dobbins carries to take some of that pressure off Lamar Jackson, because like you said, B-Flo, they script run plays in for him. Like, they do a lot of zone read. They have quarterback power in their, you know, run game, which you think, you know, nobody would want to put their quarterback in harm's way. But the Ravens do that with Lamar Jackson. So I think J.K. Dobbins coming back, I think he's going to have 1,000 yards this year. Honestly, I have him as in second place as my comeback player of the year. I think Jameis Winston is going to win comeback player of the year. But I think J.K. Dobbins, to me, is in a close second. This dude is explosive. He's physical. He'll run through you. He'll run around you. And he has the speed to take it the distance. So I'm real interested to see how J.K. Dobbins, you know, comes off an injury. He just got, you know, off the pup list and just had his first practice, I believe, either yesterday or today. So it'll be interesting to see his development as he bounces back from his injury.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.